and just pray in the Holy Spirit for like 2 to 3 minutes and let that rest on the inside of you. Just pray in the Spirit for 2 to 3 minutes. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, we acknowledge your presence in this place. We acknowledge your glory in this place. Shalabanda rabahaya. Kalabranda bashakata lambranda gadahaya. Entalabrenda shkatalim rakata bahaya. Shada kapalabada bada 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 shandahaya. Give God praise. Shakata bahaya. Enkata lada bada baya. Mountains are coming down. Chains are broken. Shabalanda barahaya shalahanda. Anturaga bashikala baha. Pandura kapada baya. Come lift your mouth and pray. Shalabahaya. Rekum balahaya. Erando shalabada bada baya. Shandala bagada bada baya. Shalabahaya.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will sing, how great is our God. How great.
Somebody tonight, you need to see God's greatness above your situations. The move of God here this evening, as you came in worship, is for you to see Him bigger than all your problems, bigger than all whatever you are going through, bigger than all your pain, bigger than all your weakness, bigger than all your problems. Bigger than all your heartaches. Bigger than everything that you've been through. Exalt the Lord above you, that thing. He will show you from another level how you are to overcome. He will show you from another level how you have victory. He will show you from another level how you take over. From you seeing from His point of greatness. He's bigger than all my questions. He's bigger than everything. God is bigger than every mountain. I cannot see. Bigger than all my questions. Oh, everything. God is bigger than every mountain I cannot see. It doesn't matter the size that it looks in your own eyes. God cannot be compared to what you are going through. His power cannot be compared to what is your problem. His greatness cannot be compared to what has limited you. His mightiness cannot be compared to what has held you bound. So without understanding, you will come and you will sing, I don't know what has held you bound before today. I know what has limited you before today. But you need to know
that is bigger than all your problems. It's bigger than everything. God is me. Sing it with all of your heart so you can know. The problem is not with God, the problem is with your vision and your sight.
All my questions, bigger than everything. God is bigger than every mountain. I cannot tell a thing. All my problems, oh, bigger than everything. God is bigger than everything.
Sing it from your heart.
I cannot see. Oh, bigger than all my questions.
See, this is one of the songs that we sang that gave us an assurance that tomorrow was settled. That in the midst of a storm that a man can be going through, you can know that God is not limited in the ability to solve them. That no matter how the hand looks as though it is already here, God can open a door where they said the end has come and start a new chapter, a new beginning with you, just because He is God, to make a statement that I am Yahweh. I am God all by myself. That the severity of your problem is not in comparison to the greatness of His power. God is bigger than every mountain. The one you can and the one you cannot see. So there are issues you are going through that is solving without you even knowing. What God is doing upon your mind is to work upon your heart. See, just see God, and then you see how small those issues are. Take your time to see God. No, let Him work upon your sight to see. Let it be rest assured in your mind. Let it be rest assured in your mind. Let it be crested upon your heart. Your eyes still shut. Picture that problem. Picture it right now. Now I want you to see so that you will see how infinitesimal it is compared to God. Picture that problem. Then right beside, let me push the image of the Spirit into you now. In the name of just let your eyes be open. Now picture God compared to that problem. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? I rebuke navigating thoughts, limiting thoughts from your mind. Look at them in comparison. That issue, look at it in comparison to God. That weakness, look at it in comparison to the power of God. That lack, look at it in comparison to the riches of our God. It's working upon your mind. So you will know it's not limited. So you will know it's not limited. There is a way out. There is a way out. There is a way out. Can you see it now? Can you see it? I can see light entering people's eyes now. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it now? Ah, can you see it now? Can you see it now? Can you see it now? Can you see your future in comparison to your present predicament? Can you see how far it is? Oh, I see the glory of God pushing pictures into the minds of men. I can see limitations of minds being removed. Knowing that God is bigger. Is a walk upon your mind. You need to see.
questions was bigger than everything. God is bigger than every mountain I cannot see. Oh, it's bigger than all my questions. It's bigger than everything. God is bigger than every mountain.
Ah, I see mountains crumbling for some people right now. What looks so big, that becomes something easy. You ask yourself, how did you become this hub? Why did it happen this fast? I just saw some mountains crumbling before men.
I cannot see.
Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. You are the God of all the earth. You are the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for you to do. We bless you because you are here again doing your work in our midst. We ask, oh God, that work will be completed and perfected this evening in the name of Jesus. And your peace indeed will fill our hearts. Will guard our hearts. Let your word come this evening with simplicity and accuracy. Let it not be hindered by any outside force. Let it come with precision and accuracy. Let it go into the divine asunder of the soul and the spirit. Let it discern the thoughts and the intents of men. And let solutions and answer flows. Let counsel be available. We take charge of this atmosphere and no outside force comes in contact to pollute the word. In Jesus' mighty name. Can you celebrate somebody beside you and welcome them to church? How many of you know the song that we just sang? I just finished singing. How many of you know it? Let me see your hands up. You know that song? I want to see your hands clearly. Huh? This new gen needs to know songs, though. I don't know. Just a few numbers. Not about 50% of the people even here even know that song. I've not sang that song in ages. In ages. See? That's the way the Spirit of the Living God operates. He comes as light. As light. Because you see, there's a way that the Holy Spirit flows. It flows like streams. It can bring what has been long lost and bring it back to you easily. So that song just lighted up in my mind again. I said, God came for somebody today who came here with unbelief. God came here for somebody today who came with hopelessness. God came here for somebody today who came feeling overwhelmed. And God is saying it's bigger than your problems. It's bigger than all your questions. It's absolutely bigger than everything. It says God is bigger than every mountain. The one you can and the one that you cannot see. Bless the saints of old who brought this kind of songs to us. Those songs are encounters. That makes you unshaken. Unshaken when the storms and the wiles of life come. I think you need to get that song and go and listen to it as an individual and just let it rest in your spirit again. Was it Dumb One that sang it? I don't think it's Dumb One. That sounds like no, it's not Ron Kennedy. Feel, not feel this call. I mean, just one of these old people. Can you help me check? But that's a very some of you just checking here. Do you even know the thing I mentioned? How many of you know Feel This Call? You know Feel This Call? What stylishly? Is it that yes or no? You know Ron Kennedy? You try small, okay. Alright. Okay. Do you not hear now? Amil Ambat. Oh, what? Who said who? I'm sure you don't know him. So don't say who. 2003.
23 years ago. Some of you are not even born. Yes, a lot of you were not born. So, I'm not surprised you don't know it. That's why some of us old timers, we need to bring in this new flow. See, I'm here bringing some songs for you. It's your business if you don't go back to go and find them. Those songs, evergreen. Evergreen. So when you see me those songs, you don't know. Better go and get it. Especially these ones. On my left, like this. Alright, let's get into today's word. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, from verse 22 to 23. Good evening again, everybody. Today we are looking at the garden of the Spirit. We are looking at peace. Peace. So we started on the subject of love, and then we cross into joy mode. How many of you have been enjoying this Garden of the Spirit series? My God. Like I told us, what God seeks to do with this series is to bring a shift to your life, that your Christian spiritual life and journey will become much more sweet and much more evident. Now, things that, like I said, like our life being a garden, the things that ought not to be there will be withered away, and those things that needs to be seen will be seen in our lives as the garden of the Spirit upon which God is working. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, so you don't even know it offhand. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Bless us tonight, Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Are we there? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The children, the sons of God. So, there are two levels to these things. You can be a person that produces peace or lives a peaceful life. And there's another level to it that it can be called a peacemaker. Peacemakers. So, what is this peace that we are talking about? There's so much for us to cover on this subject of peace, so I will try to go as fast as I can. What exactly is peace? What is peace? According to Merriam-Webster dictionary, it says, peace is freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Peace is freedom. How many of you have thought about peace and then you thought about freedom associated with peace? Peace, freedom. It doesn't look as though they are synonymous or they go together. But then look at the definition of peace. That peace means that you are being freed for something. So that means that there are people who are under the bondage of noisiness around them. So let me take that definition again. Some of you are wondering what I said. Peace is freedom from disquieting. Quiet. Disquiet. So, freedom is, peace is freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. What is this definition trying to say? That you can look at somebody well dressed, spread perfume, and is looking good, but on the inside of that individual there can be a storm raging that you cannot see. If you have come in contact with, okay, Ogbomoso actually will give you leverage to meet some of them on the road. But have you ever seen a man, someone that is mad or not feeling too well upstairs, and they are walking on the road? There are some I've met like that, that they'll be shouting, "Leave me, leave me, leave me." And there are some I see that they are trying to pull off their ears. Just like the madman of Gadara. If he stood and they clothed him and then they made him look nice, you call him a normal person. But the moment something begins to happen to him, something is changing his metabolism on the inside. He's not comfortable on the inside. So the fact that people are looking alright on the outside doesn't mean that they are peaceful. So this can show forth in their thoughts or in their emotions or situations surrounding the life of individuals. So Galatians 5 from verse 22 to 23 tells us now that now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And it comes to the point and it says peace. Why is he saying peace is a fruit of the Spirit? That is to, he's not saying that there will be absence of storms, but there will be presence of something despite the storms, and that is peace. Sometimes we think that peace is that everything suddenly will become okay. But as we continue today, you will find out that it is not necessarily every time that everything becomes okay. Sometimes what becomes okay is you, not the circumstances around you. You keep saying it. Another version. If you put that Galatians chapter 5. If you read this in Message translation, he calls peace serenity. That means a serene atmosphere, a serene thought, a serene mind. Have you seen somebody on the road walking and talking to himself? Some of you do it, have you? I'm not talking about that type. If you see me on the road sometimes, you will feel I'm talking to myself. Sometimes I do it, and my mind is not unconscious. Pay me conscious, no, not that type. Sometimes I'm just like, and then sometimes I'm having conversations with the Holy Spirit. But see, there are some, it's not conversation with any Holy Spirit. In fact, it may be with another kind of spirit. And I say, hey, why am I shibai? I didn't miss a budget. And then they are walking on the road, and then they are having this dialogue. There is this upsetting of their internal configuration. You see, this is why it is very important to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sees beyond all that is outside. He wants to work on the inside so that something out of you can come and blossom. Let me get quickly to some things, so I can touch some other things. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Why should you have peace? Or sorry, who should you have peace with? Let's start to Romans chapter 5 from verse 1. Romans chapter 5 from verse 1. Just a verse 1 will do. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first point of contact of peace that any man should have should be peace with God. It is the peace that you have with God that can ensure that you have peace all around. That place says that, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. What does this mean? It simply means that anybody who is not saved cannot have peace. You can have a quiet atmosphere, but it is not equal to peace. So, being justified by faith says you have peace with God. So if there's anybody here, let me start on that note, and you are not yet saved, there's a big problem. You know they say this in Yoruba, Eba Olorun Laja. You hear that statement, right? Is it that you are literally fighting with God? No. Is that you and God, you are not on good terms. What makes you and God on good terms is salvation. So somebody who is not saved, this evening is the day that you must be saved, because actually you are fighting with God. You must become saved. But then there's another dimension to having peace with God, which a lot of people may be culprit of. The first dimension of peace with God is the dimension of salvation, which is basic for every believer. But there's a second dimension, which is the dimension of obedience. What did I call it? What did I call it? Obedience. Let me give an example. One day, Jonah was sleeping, and then he woke up, and then God told him, go to Nineveh, go and preach to them. And Jonah said, God, you have come again. I know you. That if I go to that place and go and preach to them, you will forgive them and you will not destroy them again. So Jonah said, you know what? I'm not going to Turkey. I'm going to Ilorin. He carried his bag. Bible says, and he went and entered into a ship and he was going to Tarshish. Is that not so? Good. While he was in the ship, what happened? The Bible says, and a storm arose. And then it began to throw out, people began to throw out their luggages, their goods, everything they went to buy. They began to throw it out. One of the ways you will know that there is no peace is the presence of storms. Or the greatest marker of a life without peace is a life full of storms. That's why when we'll be praying tonight, we'll be calling upon God to bring peace to different aspects of our lives. So Jonah was inside that ship, and the Bible says that word, and a storm arose, and they began to throw away their luggage, thinking that it was because their ship was too heavy. Then Jonah came to say and said, I am the problem of this thing. So he said they should throw him inside the sea. And the rest, you all know the story. What am I trying to bring out from here? Is that there are times that we have unrest in our lives, because at a certain point in our lives, we have gotten into disobedience with God. The more you are able to walk accurately with God and in line with His will, the more there will be peace around your life. The enemy is able to bring storms into your life a lot of times because some people have found themselves in disobedience with the will of God. So, those are the two dimensions of having peace with God. Is there somebody here and you are looking at it and you are saying, why is there this kind of issues around my life? Maybe you may need to take a time and then sit back and think, Lord, is there a particular point in time you spoke something to me and I disobeyed your order concerning my life? I disobeyed an instruction that you gave to me. That can bring unrest around your life. I mean, there are examples littered around the scriptures. What happened with Jonah that peace came about? The fish swallowed him and took him back to the border and spat him out. Then he went to Nineveh and he preached the gospel. And the storm around his life totally ended. Unrest or a life without peace can be a marker of disobedience to a precept or an instruction coming from God. Let's go to number two. Peace with and within ourselves. Number two. Peace with and within ourselves. John chapter 14 and verse 27. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This was Jesus Christ going, and this was part of his closing statement with his disciples in his last days with them. He says, my peace I leave with you. Then he says, peace, not as the world gives you. That means that there is a peace that the world can give you. He says, let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There are certain people that, like I was saying at the beginning, that you will see them well clothed, but their mind is not in the right place. There are people who don't have peace with themselves. That's number one. There are people who don't have peace within themselves. For example, there are people who keep beating themselves up because of the way they look. every time they stare in the mirror. In fact, they don't like looking in the mirror because they don't like what they see in the mirror. There are people who their emotions is never at peace. That means that there are always issues constantly eating them and making them every time sorrowful. But just Christ came here and said, my peace I live with you. The one that only him can give. So this also tells us about the source of eternal peace, which is Christ Jesus. There are those who, because of a particular loss in their life, there is no more peace in their lives. These are peace with and within ourselves. Number three, I just have to run through this so that we can cover much. Number three, peace with others. That's the third category of peace we must have. Peace with others. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with who? With how many men? Let's zoom a little closer to your hostel. Are we there now? Are you afraid? Because you are zooming closer? It says, as much as it is in your own capacity, what did they ask you to do? How many? How many? All. So can you remember that person you're not at peace with now? Are you remembering now? Can you? You're not asking me. As, can you remember now? Thank you for being honest, Jerry. Says, as long as in your capacity, live at peace with all men. I began to ask myself, why is this issue of peace such a key thing? So I said to do a search. I found out that the issue of peace was spoken about 94 times in the New Testament. 94. Say, ah. In fact, I found out that the cause of peace is a prayer. You'll find that Apostle Paul opening chapters of the Bible, grace and peace be multiplied to you. He didn't say grace and power. He didn't say grace and anointing. Said grace and peace be multiplied. Why? It's because, you see, everything you find in Galatians 5 and verse 22 are very, very strong subjects. That if you don't have it in good measure, can determine how much you enjoy your life here on earth or not. If you enjoy it very well, peace must be there. Have you found those who have money but they don't have peace? Have you seen them? Oh, you have not seen them. You have not seen them. I've had to hear or talk with some people where the problem of their family is not money. The problem of their family is that daddy and mommy are always beating themselves. I say daddy is beating mommy. Say daddy and mommy are always beating. So the child would rather be in school than be at home. The problem actually is not lack of money. The problem is that the peace that she's supposed to enjoy by being at home is not there. What the Bible tries to tell us today, that we must have peace with everybody around us. And the Bible says, as long as it depends on you. Some people, when you check their life, you know, they are, how does this guy call himself? Say they are liquid fire. Is it liquid metal? People don't know that guy. Indaboski. Says, I'm the liquid fire. Is it liquid metal? Liquid metal. Say, I am not a man of peace. That's like, you don't know the. Say, I'm not a man of peace. I'm a man of war. There are some of you like that. When we go back to your hostel, you are not a man of peace. You are a man of war. They carry your bucket of water. Ogunde. Somebody now hears. Omuolegbe. Omifunkeni. Oh, Batimagbe. And some of you are in this church. What is he trying to say? It says, if it is possible. The Bible is saying that sometimes it is not possible. But you see, the possibility most times is there. to be at peace with all men. Mark chapter 9 and verse 50. Mark chapter 9 and verse 50. Let's quickly run together. It says, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with who? It's one another. Like I told you guys, every of these fruit of the Spirit is to work upon your character. When it works upon your character and the way you do things, you find that things will change around you. Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Number four, peace around us. Peace around us. Mark chapter 4 verse 37. Mark 4:37. It says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that you are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So, in this place, the problem was not that they were not with God, because in the boat they were with Jesus. They didn't have issues among themselves. They didn't have issue within themselves. This peace was as a result of external factors, things that was beyond their control. So what is this trying to say? That there are people who, like I said earlier, in their families, things are really going tough. It can be financial storm. It can be spiritual storm. It can be emotional storm. Maybe there's even somebody here. You have been a victim of, you know, the thing they used to call amoeba, like somebody dates you after 3 months, you just say, we are not doing it again. You do it again after 3 months, say, you are not doing it again. There was such a case that I heard that was so pathetic. That there was a lady that this happened to, maybe 3 months or 2 months to her wedding. And after that, she came. She said, you know what? As long as it concerns me and men, I'm never getting married again. It took the intervention of God for her to get married. Intervention of God. She got married really, really late. But what happened? There was consistency of storms around her. That's why you see, whenever you find yourself in the midst of storms, make sure you are not quiet. There's a provision for you to come out of those storms that you are going through. So the two dimensions that we want to look at today is mostly, number one, about the peace within us. And then the peace around us. We will touch everything, but then these are the main parts. So, how do you become a peace advocate? Or how do you enjoy this peace? Everything is connected to the previous one. So you pick it one by one. Number one, how do you become a peace advocate? Or how do you enjoy this peace? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What is this part of the Bible trying to say? That God has given everybody who is a believer an assignment, which is that he has called us into the ministry of reconciling men back to God. That's the basic. That's the least of the basis. Or no, that's not the least. That's the greatest. Because the goal is for everybody to restore back to God. So number one, being a peace advocate must be that you will be somebody given to evangelism. Let me try to put it this way. Do you know why we still have a lot of evil in the world today? The problem is because of two reasons. Number one, you are saved and some people are not saved. That's number one. Number two, some people are saved but their lives is not being transformed. So, we have Christians in and what they call it now? In government. Yet, those Christians are still responsible for some of the problems we are facing today in the nation. What if those people were correct believers doing what they ought to do when they are in government? We would have a better society and a better nation today. So the Bible is saying that he's calling us into a ministry of reconciliation, bringing men back to the pattern and to the ways of God, how things ought to be. If we don't do that, the world as it is may never become a better place. Are you getting me today? The world may never become a better place. So every one of us must need to go out there. In fact, why do people fall into sin? Because somebody beside them is weak. Because somebody beside them is unsaved. Because somebody beside them is not doing what they ought to do. So what is your own place as a believer? You must know that, number one, you are a peace advocate. You must know that you are trying to reconcile men to God. There are people who are estranged from God, people who are far from God, who need to know God. You must know God called you to the ministry of reconciliation. Don't think that because you are saved, now, like they used to say, you are saved to save others. You are not just saved so that you can just enjoy salvation. So you are calling to the ministry of reconciliation. Now, number two, how do you enjoy, or how do you become a peace advocate? Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Luke 2:25. Are we there? In Jerusalem at the time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man. Okay, let me read it in KJV on the screen. I have a message there. I wanted to show something there. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, give me message version. Message. No, that's in verse 25. I just say I need for now. So, I'm reading message translation. It says, in Jerusalem at the time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of Israel, of help for Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. What am I trying to bring out from here? Look at the last part of that place. It says, a man who lived in prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. What is the Bible trying to say here? That this man put himself into prayers consistently, that help may come for Israel at a particular point in time of their lives. See, number two is through the ministry of intercession. Through the ministry of intercession, this will help some people come out of the issues that they are going through and grant them grace to come out. Please listen attentively. There is no problem that big that prayer cannot solve. God already came by himself to reveal that to us at the beginning. There are times when people are going through some severe storms in their lives. Severe storms. It looks like the whole world will crash down on them. There are times when people are going through deep things that they may not even be able to share with their neighbor. But you see, the same way that Israel was in a time and season of bondage, and then in a particular place, a man was there on his knees consistently. The Bible says he was in prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. The Bible says, and one day he entered the tabernacle, and then he saw that Jesus Christ, who had been praying for a long time, they brought him into the temple. What am I trying to say here? For peace to be available in your life when you are going through some storms in life, you must wait consistently in the place of prayer until the storm is over. Sometimes we give up too soon when things are not working around us. Sometimes we give way too soon. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, just as was saying this, said that men ought to always pray and not to do what? And not to faint. Simeon was there. God told him, you will not die until your eyes see the Savior. I don't know how many years that man took in a place of prayer, but that man never stopped praying until his eyes saw Jesus. Some of you, we need to keep staying in the place of prayer until whatever storm you are going through, until that storm will move away. There is no life that does not experience storms at one point in time of their lives or the other. But what is the Bible saying here? That there is a way out of storms that you are going through today. Like I was sharing in the second service on Sunday, nothing just happens. Peace doesn't just come. In fact, if you find out that there's peace, there are people who are paying the price for peace to be available. If a country is not at war, there are some armies in the different borders that they are carrying their ammunition, saying that anybody that tries to come in, they will gun them down. Look at the countries that are going through war today. Why are they going through war? They already infiltrated into their borders. People are, even in Nigeria, are we enjoying peace? You may not really know it, but go to the north. Go to Benue. Go to Kogi. Go to Southern Kaduna and go and ask them. You will know that in Nigeria, we are enjoying in the southwest. What am I trying to say from all of this? You can be going through a particular pain in your life, through particular issues in your life, and you want to enjoy God's peace. You will need to get yourself into the place of prayer. But you see, now let me show you something. What peace really means. No, follow me. From the beginning, I told you a particular thing. I said, peace does not mean that your situation has changed. Peace that can just mean that God has changed you. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Are we there? I want everybody to read it together. Verse 6 and verse 7. Are we ready? Do you have it open? Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. At a particular point in time, I was having a bit of issues with that scripture. Because that scripture did not look as though it gave us the ending that we wanted. Look at it. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made to God. I thought verse 7 will now say, and the God that answers prayer will now answer your prayer. Shouldn't that be the next thing? Answer me now. And the God answers prayer will come true for you because you have prayed, you have supplicated, and you have given thanks. Is that what it says there? It says, and the peace of God that surpasses understanding will fill your minds. You see, the reason why some people don't come out of some problem is because even in themselves, they don't have rest. Everything they are laboring and struggling to get what God Himself should provide for them. So sometimes your prayer is to bring peace into your heart so that you are able to see the answer in that situation you are going through. It's a very, very strong issue. Somebody lost something and said, ah, God, restore back to me. But the person is always in tears. And God is trying to communicate to him what he needs to hear. But because of the storm raging in his heart and in his head, he cannot hear God in that situation. I am talking to some people here today who are going through such things like that. Who it seems as though there is storms around your life. You will need to pray to a point where you will have the peace of God in your mind about that situation. So how does this happen? The way peace of God comes upon... See, I have been some situations in my life. Okay, I shared with you some time ago where I lost a lot of money before we got married. And because I was so blessed on every side, I ran away from home. Not literally, but I ran away from home. And I went to redemption camp. And I was there. One day, I think I spent 3 days there. I was fasting, I was not eating. My eyes was already taking light. Already. But I found that as I prayed and prayed the more, I was expecting that somebody would just come and say, "Ah, Samson, don't worry, oh, I forgive you the money. Samson, don't do so, I forgive you this." I was expecting something like that to happen. Or maybe I would just come out after the prayer and fast, and somebody would just carry money and give me or something. Not all of those dramatic things that you think is the normal expectation after you have prayed for a long time. But you see, after I was done with the prayer, I found out that the burden I was feeling about the situation was already lifted and I was not worried anymore. How many of you have an idea of such situations? If you don't have an idea, you need to get to such points. Because you see, the way sometimes you expect God to answer your prayers is not the way God wants to answer the prayers. That is the reason why we have unrest a lot of the times. That's the reason why we are praying and then you are looking in a particular direction. Look at Peter in the storm with Jesus. He said, "Bid me, let me come." Peter came out. The Bible says he looked at the boisterous wind. Did you notice that Jesus Christ did not rebuke the storm? He told Peter, "Come and walk, even in the midst of the storm." When Jesus Christ was walking on the storm, he had peace in his mind that even though I can be inside the midst of this storm cannot swallow me. I need to get this, because you see, if you get this understanding, there is no situation you are going through that you will not overcome eventually. It just may take some time. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will fill your heart after you have prayed, after you have supplicated, after you have given thanks. One thing that you should look out for is that you will have peace in your heart. I shared with you guys about the first lady I proposed to. What happened to me? We had stayed away for like 4 or 5 years saying, I'm not sure you are the one. So I didn't propose to ladies. So I was just said, you know what? I won't toast you. Even though we liked ourselves and we're always breaking our hearts because nobody's proposing. So after a long while of staying away, one day, I just woke up one day and I could not sleep again. Do I have witnesses in the house? I couldn't sleep. I woke up. I could not sleep. I tried to sleep at night. I was just rolling on the bed. What is going on? The only thing of the person that's come to my heart is this girl. What is the problem? Somebody cannot share something with you, please now. Yeah? What is going on? Why am I just thinking about this? So I just kept rolling on the bed, and then the following morning, I could not eat. Wait. See. Understand me. This is not me being lovesick. Let me. Okay, number three. Say that. Let me talk. This is not me being lovesick. The reason why is because for over 5 years I had waited to be sure that this is the lady, and I did not go ahead to propose because I was not sure, even though we liked ourselves. I stayed that long. So why will I suddenly wake up one day and begin to roll on the bed, and then the only thought coming to my head is go and propose to this girl? It was pressure. So I went and I met some of the people that I used to, that were discipling me then, and I told them, if you believe that you have heard God, you can go ahead. So I went ahead. I'm trying to tell some of you that sometimes you feel that because you are having a particular agitation to do something, and because it looks like something that is not normally happening, you think that is the answer to what is going on. Like, it seems that God is saying I should go and do this thing. Sometimes our mind cannot fathom what the Spirit of God is saying. Maybe at that point in time, it was a pressure that was coming from hell for me to go and make a decision I was not supposed to make. Now, by the outcome, I knew I was not supposed to make that decision. So sometimes the enemy will come and then steal all situations. But you see, what happens when you are in the midst of a time that you need to make a decision? You want something to happen. He said, and the peace of God. That time when I made the situation, there was no peace. But when it came to propose it to my wife, that was God propose, God propose, God propose. I was just okay, I'll go. But this one, I took my time. From the day that I proposed, 9 months, I was just chilling. I already knew, but I was just chilling, waiting for the right time. So I waited for July 19th. 2017 at 7:05. I was not under any pressure whatsoever. How did I know this? That I was at that point when I knew I was making the right decision. I had invested in so much prayers, knowing that I don't want to make a mistake in my marital destiny. So I invested in prayers. So when the time came and I met the person, there was no doubt. The peace of God had rested upon my heart. It was beyond my understanding. If you ask me then, how did I know? I did not know because I saw a dream. I knew because I know. See, that's the point a lot of people don't get to when they want to make decisions. They don't make decisions out of a rush, out of a hurry, out of the pressure. Maybe somebody else will toast that. So you quickly go and be the one to first register your interest. I'm telling you, that does not cut it all. So there is a storm going on around us, and then you are under pressure to try to find a way out for yourself. What you need to do is to pray to a point where the peace of God about that matter will rest upon your heart. It is when the peace of God comes upon your heart, you'll be able to see road clearly to make a proper decision. The peace of God. So after I returned from that retreat of staying 2 days, maybe 3 days in redemption camp, when I came back, I knew I was in debt, but I just knew that God had already taken the glory. So every of the agitation around me, pay me, everything just died down. Everybody just stopped asking. The peace of God will guard your heart. See, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That peace is not waiting for how you understand it. You will just know that peace is there. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. So how do you enter into this realm where you have peace in your heart? Praying the Holy Spirit a lot. I'm telling you. Praying the Holy Ghost a lot. He's the one that can sponsor this peace that will guide your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you are feeling like it, pray. When you are not feeling like it, pray. Can't cover everything. Message that I can pick so we can finish up in good time today. Okay, number 3. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 24. Luke chapter 22 and verse 24. Said, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, He who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. We see Jesus Christ talking here, and he was talking with his disciples. And while he was at the back, while he was away from them, they began to have a discussion. It's me that will take over after Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "This is going. I will be the leader. I will be the greatest." They were having that agitation, and it was already causing a dissension amongst them. They were already getting divided. Jesus Christ called them together, and he said, "If anyone wants to be the greatest among you, it must be the servant. It must be the least of all." It says, "I am among you as one who serves." What was he trying to do with his disciples? The devil was already finding a way to enter into their midst and cause a division in their midst. That's why you must see. Like I said, that's why when I said it, I gave us the four dimensions of peace. There's one that is Godward. There's one that is internal. There's the one that is with people around you. So this one was a situation of the one that was in between people. The devil wanted to enter into their midst and cause a division. And you see, this is very, very instructive for us believers. The Bible says that in the end time, there will be some that will come amongst you who are savage wolves. There will be wolves in sheep clothing, and their assignment is to scatter the sheep. That's their assignment. That was what was happening with the disciples. And the Bible says that what Jesus Christ told them, see, anyone that wants to be the greatest must be the least and must be the servant of everybody. What was he saying to them? See, Joshua, come. Please come. Laura, please come. Yes, you. Let's say I am Jesus. Let's say I am Jesus. These are disciples. Who is the greatest? So Jesus Christ went and he took a towel. And he bent down. And he began to clean their legs. And he was cleaning their legs. What do you think he was trying to do? Huh? Somebody answer me. What was he trying to do? Speak up now. Who is confident in what was he trying to do? He was serving them. So, in that midst, can Peter become boastful that he is the greatest? Because Jesus Christ is cleaning his shoe. What is he trying to say here? That the reason why divisions come in the midst of people is because people are seeing themselves greater than the other person. So Jesus is saying, see, even me, that I am the greatest among you, undeniably so, I come amongst you as the one who is serving all of you. So there is no reason for everyone to come and say, I am the biggest among all of you. Why do we have issues in different units in church? Some people feel that they are above the law. Some people think that they are above punishment. Some people think that they're, why the HOD, why did you talk to me this way? The moment you see yourself as somebody who is above rebuke, somebody who people cannot talk to, somebody who, no, you are the holy cow. When I came across that word, I was like, ah, Jesus Christ. You are the holy cow. Nobody can rebuke you. The moment you are at that point, you are already causing dissension. So Jesus Christ says, how should you see yourself? See yourself as the least among the brethren. So what should you do? Make sure you are stooping so low to clean the shoes of every other person. You are there, and then I forgot what I wanted to say now. There was an issue. You are waiting for the other person to be the first one to apologize because you think he's the one that offended you. Jesus Christ is saying that no, the only way to attend that situation is to see yourself as the least in the middle of that situation. That is the reason why there's a lot of chaos and people are bragging against themselves because somebody is seeing himself as bigger than the other. So you guys are saying that whenever you are amongst brethren like that, be the least among them. You find that there will be more peace. The moment Jesus Christ said that thing to them, the discussion about who is the greatest went to them. Please turn to your seats. Let me show you something else again and then we'll find somewhere to close. Well, that's what number three is. Number three is exemplifying the life of Christ to all. As a peace advocate, exemplifying the life of Christ to all. Luke 9:51. I'll quickly read for sake of time. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went. They entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Verse 54. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. What was he trying to say here? Jesus did not tell them that they didn't have power to call down fire. He didn't tell them that. Just Christ said, see, you don't know what kind of person you have been made to be. I know you can call down fire, but the kind of person you have been made to be is not the one that calls down fire. You don't know what kind of a man you are. What was Jesus Christ trying to say to them? Every time you find yourself in the midst of a situation when things look as though you can exercise your power, just because that is the time that you need to display peace the most. For example, you are the HOD. Somebody spat on you. Somebody did this to you. I can remember a particular time. Some of the HODs, some few people here may still know it. We were in church here one day like that, and then somebody is already smiling. And then we are hearing noise outside at the back over here. And then they came to come in the office. Say, Pastor, some people are doing a looter outside there. So I went outside and I met them there. And then, what's the problem, sir? What's the problem, man? Let them on the water for us. Kiniko, kiniko. She is our water. Kiniko, kiniko. Ah. Am I supposed to say this? No. Let me finish that situation so it not cause problem after this one. Don't worry, let's move on. If I say some things now, you will start. So, but what is the long and short of the story? Was that as I was trying to sort the matter, I can't even remember what exactly the lady said. What did the girl say that time? I was trying to solve the matter. The person just said, Talon sorrow, go save. Look at the way this one held her chest. I'm telling you, just right at the back here. I am like, hey. I said, no, don't worry. I already said, I think this one was there. I think it was Nathaniel that was here. I said, from today, any one of you that hunt that water for them. So we shut down that water. And I brought it to EC. Everybody, tell everybody, Pastor, let's go. They must know. I said, calm down. Even that they talked to, as I entered, he just said, something, maybe, no, maybe. But what am I trying to say? At that point, there was nothing I would do that would not be justifiably so. But then, what did I do? I called a reconciliation meeting with them. They have said, we should never only water again for them. Say, don't worry. When they go outside, they will give another narrative. Call them, let them come, and then we solve the matter. The lady, I said, come and see me in the office. She apologizes. Even though grudging, but then you see, what I'm trying to say is that sometimes you have the power to do something, but peace means that even though you have the power to do this thing, you will still choose to lay down your sword as a believer. You have power, but you restrain. You are exemplifying yourself as a true follower of Christ. You must walk with peace with all men. Let me try to finish everything up. Number four, honor for each other and irrespective of your differences and shortcomings. I'll just list it. And then we close. Honor for each other, irrespective of our differences and shortcomings. Number five, okay, scripture verse, Philippians 2:1-3. You can just write it down. You can go back home and go and study it on your own. Number five, resolve issues quickly without aggression and abuses. Some of us don't know how to do this one. resolve issues quickly without aggression and abuses. I want us to show us two quick scriptures. Please follow the story so that you get it quickly. 2 Samuel 16 from verse 1 to 4. 2 Samuel 16, 1 to 4. Some of you know, how many of you know the story of Mephibosheth? You know him? Okay. Let's clear something there. It says, when David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. And the king said to Ziba, what do you mean to do with this? So Ziba said, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and the summer fruits for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink. Verse 3. Then the king said, and where is your master's son? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is staying in Jerusalem. For he said, today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me. Verse 4. So the king said to Ziba, here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours. And Ziba said, I humbly bow before you that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king. Now, to the story. You don't have time to read everything. How many of you know that story of that place? David ran away because his son Absalom wanted to kill him. So he ran away from home. Mephibosheth, the guy that was lame, that David invited to eat the table with him. Do you know him? Good. So that everybody will understand it. So, when David was sent away, the servant of Mephibosheth that had been taking care of him when he was young, ran and left Mephibosheth to go and meet David from the place of exile. And he brought raisin, brought cakes, brought figs, brought wine, and gave it to him. He said, ah, what is this? He says, it's for you, sir. He said, where is your master's servant? He says, ah. Let me say exactly what he said in that verse 4. Indeed, he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said, today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me. If you were the king, what will you do? Somebody that you are supposed to kill, you didn't kill him. You took him as a lame man to be eating with you in your palace. If you are you, what will you do? Tell me now, if you are King David, what will you do? Huh? You have the power, just tell me, what will you do? You will kill him. Now, let's go to chapter 19, verse 24. When I read this story, you will know how to judge issues. Because see, this issue of peace, it deals mostly with your relationship with people. Peace deals mostly with how you relate with people. Look at that chapter 19 from verse 24. It says, now Mephibosheth the son of Saul came down to meet the king. What will you do if you are the one? What did he say you will do? You will kill him, Abi. Mm-hmm. See, and he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he returned in peace. Do you know how long that was? That was maybe months or years. He did not shave, did not trim his fingernails, he did not wash his leg. Keep going with me. So it was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet with the king that the king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? Verse 26. And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go to the king, because your servant is lame. Verse 27. And he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore, do what is good in your eyes. For all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who eat at your table. Therefore, what right have I still to cry out anymore to the king? Now, this is the story. David came back and he told him that on the day I wanted to come and meet you, my servant Ziba told him, see, I want to go and get a donkey for you. Then he took the donkey and ran away to go and meet David. What was the servant trying to do? Huh? What was he trying to do? Now tell me. Ojuaye, eye service. Is that not what he used to call it? If David had met him on the road and never asked the question from him, why did he not come up? What do you think David would have done to him next? Killed him. I saved you, I delivered you, and this is how you repay me. The story is never the way it seems until you hear the second party. Some of you judge issues too quickly. Don't be too much in a haste to judge. Somebody comes and narrates a story to you. Ah, see Pastor Samson, eh? That pastor is kinikon. And they tell you the story like, ah, pastor, without an anointing, so now so you be. Or they come and tell you about your HOD. Ah, your HOD this. Your HOD slapped this one. You did, ah, he shouted. Ah. You must be careful how you judge matters. There's no time. There are a lot of scriptures for this. This issue of peace is something very, very germane. Because if you don't have it, the devil will successfully divide us as believers. So when David got there, he asked him, why did you come? Then David told him, the servant told him the story. He said, see, it was my servant to say, you know what? Go and divide the land. Go and divide every of the properties. Don't be too quick to judge. Be somebody, when you hear a story, find out what is the other part of the story. Because you see, for every story, there are always two sides. There are always how many sides? Some of you are fighting with somebody you're not supposed to be fighting with because of what you heard. Because of what you heard. I was telling somebody yesterday, person is angry to a particular person. I said, see, don't be angry yet. If you have the opportunity to ask the person a question, ask the person what exactly happened. And you will be shocked that this is also another side of the story. If I come and I tell you a story about what happened, about how someone mistreated me, do you think I'll tell you the full story? The time I abuse the person, will I tell you about that one? No. You not say, ah, you beat my sister. There are so many things we need to consider. Go and look at Simeon and Levi in the Bible. They killed the old male in a particular country because they were angry against the sister. But they never asked the sister, did they kidnap you from your house or you went to the place by yourself? She went there. I'm sure there would have been a toasting part to pay a half a fine girl. Wait, this. Those things may have happened. May have happened. There's only two sides to a story. For peace to truly reign, always learn to hear two parts of the stories so that you will not be found wanting in the midst of situations. I need to round up here. Hebrews 12:14, that's the last scripture I'm reading. Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 12:14. Can we all read it together, everybody? Let's echo it together. Hebrews 12:14. Which one will make no man see God? Which one? Huh? Which one you used to quote before? Which one you used to quote before? So who? Huh? No, this New Testament though. And he's saying that, you know, before it was like, ah, without holiness, no man can. Is that what you used to quote before? But he says what? Follow peace with all men. And what? And holiness. That means that when you're a person of dissension, somebody who is always in division with people, the Bible says even with that, you cannot do what? When I was studying this show of peace, I said, wait, we have under-talked about this thing, no? No wonder Jesus Christ was always trying to resolve issues, not fighting with men. Always. He's supposed to be in division. He made it soft. He says, if they slap you on one cheek, what should you do? Peter took a sword, cut the ear of Marcus. What did Jesus Christ do? And he said, what? Put it back. It was a man of peace. Everywhere went to. Now, I'm asking the question I asked in the beginning. If we zoom in to your hostel, why are you touching your chest like that? Like, if we zoom into your hostel, can you be called a man of peace or a man of war? Remember, without it, no man can see the Lord. Some people here are readily people who can cause division in between brethren very easily. You will talk about Funke to Toby. They will not take Toby to go and talk to Runke and say, see that Funke. And then you will turn the back of friends against each other. Without which no man can what? Rather than being peaceful, you are the one turning the backs of people. Wa for it femi, wa for femi, it's not proper. When they ask about people who can rock the ocean and cause fire, of a Jan was what's your name? No, your name. Hello, Kumulalawa. Tomulawa Debi, I'm Kumaba Kunosi. That is about to put fuel in fire. I'm locking down very well. I'm just joking, it's not you. We can't be people like that. Number one, we must be people who are peaceable. I dwelt most on peace with people around us because Sunday service and joy service, I dealt with peace with ourselves. When joy inside out, I've studied that one much. Past, but this one is a major problem. Some of us don't know how to have peace with people around us. We don't. You must ensure that wherever you go, you are a man of peace. Issues is going on. You are not taking sides to fight the other person. When you have not heard the story of the other person on that side, you must ensure that you are always peaceful with people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. I'm taking this time to pray that for everyone who is under any storm in their lives presently, I declare peace in the name of Jesus. I declare an end to that storm in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for anyone who has a problem with peace attitudinally. I'm asking, Lord, that there be a correction. Let there be a mind shift. Let there be a life shift. Grant us grace to live at peace with people around us. The wisdom to live with people, Lord, release to us in the name of Jesus. Take all the glory, Father. Help us to be peacemakers. Say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We ask that this will be identified in our lives. We will learn to live at peace. Men will glorify you through our lives in the name of Jesus. Your name alone be praised forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.